Hello and welcome to Keswa 101. Welcome to Season 3 of Keswa 101. You know the rules by now. It's simple. Contestants answer 9 questions from my little black book here, and then the 10th question. What would you put into Keswa 101? As ever, I'll do my best to find weaknesses in our contestants' answers and make myself feel better by some gentle mockery. So let's get started and welcome our second and final contestant of Season 3.
Question 1.
Who are you and what do you actually do?
Okay, so who am I? What do I do? So I'm Phil Miller. I'm the Director of Sport here at King Edward's. And what I do, along with my fantastically amazing PE team, is we look after all things sport at King Edward's. So that ranges from fixtures to the games afternoons, core PE, inter-house sport, academic PE with GCSE, A-level, IB, all sorts of different things. So anything that is sport related, it all comes back to me and my team. Before I arrived here at King Edward's, I spent 6 years working abroad, firstly in Indonesia at the British School Jakarta, which is an amazing school, where I was Director of Activities. And then following that, I went to Brighton College out in the United Arab Emirates as their Director of Sport. I stayed there again for quite a number of years. I really, really enjoyed both of those experiences, but we've decided to come home now. My wife's from around this area. You can probably hear from my accent, I'm not. I'm from Lancashire. And we've returned home. We've got 2 children, and we just felt it important that the children get to be a little bit closer to their grandparents. And a fun fact for you is that my 2 children and I, we all share the same birthday, which makes September an incredibly expensive month for my wife. But also it means that I'm going to get birthday cake for the next 18 years, which is absolutely brilliant. And there's no excuse for anybody forgetting my birthday as well, like my parents did 2 years running.
Sorry, nodded off there. Think you might have misunderstood the question, Mr. Miller. Just a simple, who are you, what do you do here? Not a life story, but I do hope you feel better for sharing that all with us. Some fascinating stuff, though, honestly.
Question 2.
What are the best and worst bits of your job? Just to clarify, your current job, Director of Sport at King Edward's, not any of your others.
Without a shadow of a doubt, the best bit of my job is being able to take pupils to fixtures and compete. It's putting into practice what we're doing in games and on the training field. And I look back at when I was a kid, I used to, training was good fun and you're trying to improve and get better, but you wanted to be on that pitch, you wanted to be competing at heart. I want to win all the time, of course, but when we don't win, having the opportunity to sort of learn from our experiences, maybe our mistakes, and try and make ourselves better performers next time around. So that is absolutely my favourite part of the job. My least favourite is the exact opposite of that, is when fixtures get cancelled. Particularly, I still remember that feeling when you're a kid and it's January or February and you get up excited on a Saturday morning and you look out the window and it is frozen solid and the fixture is off. So from a pupil's perspective, I feel really sorry for them that we've got to cancel their fixtures, because that's what we build up to throughout the entirety of the week or the entire season sometimes. But from a personal perspective, the admin that goes with cancelling a fixture as well, maybe not immediately apparent to the amount of people that we've got to get in touch with, just to make sure that things are not put in place and then wasted, such as catering and transport, making sure parents know and getting the messages to pupils first thing in the morning, or if it's middle of the week, you might be teaching, so how are you going to get that message out whilst you're teaching? So not quite as straightforward as possibly you sometimes imagine, but it's a real frustration, massive frustration when fixtures get cancelled.
Well done, Mr. Miller. I think you got the hang of this now.
Question 3.
Why did you volunteer to do this podcast?
So why did I volunteer? Well, anybody that knows Mr. Gardner will know that volunteer is a strong word. Mr. Gardner, so he's built up this culture, this, you know, everybody's a little bit fearful of him. So you sort of have to say yes whenever he does anything because you're a little bit scared for your own safety, in all honesty. Obviously, I'm joking. Anybody that does know him knows that he's an absolute pussycat. I think the main thing, the reason I volunteer for things like this is my role. I sort of mentioned I worked in Indonesia, and a big part of that role was working with the community, putting on events such as road races and biathlons, and working with the Parent Teacher Association, all that sort of stuff. And it really made me value and realise the importance of working with the community. When you're in school, it isn't just teachers and pupils and that dynamic. It's teachers, pupils, parents, the local community, even, you know, with our outreach program with the shops and the prep schools and all sorts of things that we all need to work together with, and more so now than any point probably that I'm aware of. Being close to our community in situations like this is really, really important. So that's why I do volunteer for things like this. Even if it just, if one person listening to this has a little smile at something at some point, then it's been a real positive.
Question 4.
What's your favourite word and why?
My favourite word and why is actually the word why. I think it's a brilliant word. When I was studying to teach, I remember one of our teacher educators saying that the most important thing you can ask is why. And I started trying to implement it into my classes when I was teacher training. And whenever any pupil said any answer to anything, if I just said, oh, why do you think that? Then it just gets pupils to expand and think and really go into depth about what they're trying to put together. And suddenly they start bringing in different concepts, maybe from subjects that are different to what we're delivering at that point, or different topics that we've covered earlier in the year. And they start to bring it all together and they question. And I love that sometimes when you're in the middle of a lesson and a pupil will stop you and say, sir, no, why? Why is it like that? Because I remember previously you said this and that doesn't add up. And that just shows that the pupils are thinking about it, they're invested, they're learning. And I think it's just a brilliant, brilliant word in education. But also, since that point, I've started asking them why on a more broad basis. You know, you're looking at the protests at the moment, and I'm trying to listen and ask the question, why? Why are people protesting? What is it that is so ingrained that really needs to be investigated more at a national and international level? And when you start asking those why questions, you start to understand the position that other people are in, and you start to learn a little bit more about the entire world around you. So I really think it is a massively important question to ask. And if you've got a closed mindset, you never ask why. You might disagree with the answer that you get sometimes when you ask the question why, but at least you're listening and understanding. And I think it's really important at this stage to, without getting too deep and philosophical, which I probably already have, really trying to understand everybody else's perspectives and bring people a little bit closer together.
Cutting edge teaching techniques there from Mr. Miller. Gotta say, I've got one or two whys running around my head right now.
Question 5.
What is your favourite place and why?
Favourite place and why? This is the easiest question to answer throughout all of this. I'm a huge fan of Cornwall. I got married there in a lovely hotel overlooking Porthminster Beach and St Ives and the harbour there. I went on holiday there every single year. From my first year of birth up until I was 30, I went on holiday there, family holiday, to the same place, St Agnes, every single year, and I absolutely adore it there. Just the feeling of freedom, the wild weather, the people down there, and the feeling almost of isolation. Just a wonderful, wonderful place. And I'd love to end up there at some point in the distant future.
Question 6.
What's your go-to order at your favourite restaurant?
My go-to order at a restaurant is sweet and sour chicken. Every single time. Absolutely love it. And the stickier that sauce on the sweet and sour chicken, oh, just the best. I try and ignore how many calories are in something like that. Make it a bit of a treat every now and then. But it's a little bit too easy to pick up that phone sometimes. No, my mouth's watering now thinking about it. It's ridiculous. There's a place in the United Arab Emirates called PF Chang's. Don't know if it exists here or anywhere else, whether it's an American thing or just Middle East, I don't know. But wow, if you ever end up in the United Arab Emirates at any point, have a sweet and sour chicken at PF Chang's, you will not be disappointed. Delicious.
Question 7.
What do you wish you had known when you were 18 that you know now?
Very cliche, but just it's okay to be yourself. I still remember, you know, from being about 14, 15 years old, and all I wanted to do was fit in with maybe what the cool kids did, or certainly coming up in the world that I did. You know, I was playing in football clubs, sort of academies and whatnot, you know, sort of Blackburn Rovers and Preston North End and these sorts of places. And all I wanted to do was copy what everybody else was doing, what they thought was cool. And it never worked with me. I always knew I was sort of slightly different. I think at heart, I'm an academic, probably even a geek. And that doesn't really fit at all with the sort of the team sport world, the football sort of changing room atmosphere. And, you know, I'll give you an example. You ask a footballer what their specialist topic would be if they went on Mastermind, and nobody, apart from myself, would say something like Stargate SG-1. I am that much of a geek. You know, I love listening to, you know, I get in the car instead of sticking on 5 Live and listening to the sport, I will stick on the Infinite Monkey Cage on Radio 4 and listen to about quantum mechanics and moons and planets of the solar system and finding out there might be life on Europa and all these sorts of things. And very atypical for a sportsman. But I do wish I'd known at 18 that it is okay to just be yourself. Be who you want to be. And actually, what I found was when I got a little bit older and I was more comfortable with myself, you just feel much happier. And I look at my little girl now, who's happy as Larry, just runs around doing whatever she wants. Just, I don't know, I'm not suggesting do this, but she'll just take her trousers off in the middle of a park and run around. Don't do that. Definitely don't do that. There's definitely a point where you need to stop being yourself, but the freedom and the happiness of just doing and being yourself is really, really important. I wish I'd known that at 18, rather than not wasting, but meandering along, trying to be cool, when I clearly wasn't.
Well, I think that this has to be my favourite response to this question across the 3 seasons that we've had. First of all, we have learnt that Kez possibly is home to the first ever academic PE teacher. Now, of course, that's not my view. I'm representing the views not of myself, but of our listeners. And some would say that that's quite a harsh thing to say, but there we go. The next thing we've learned is that you're quite judgmental. This generalised stereotyping of footballers, for example. I mean, I can think of a lot of highly intelligent, quirky footballers over years gone by. Let's take Shaka Hislop, for example. He worked for NASA and has a degree in mechanical engineering. And then we all know Frank Lampard, and he is amongst the most intelligent 0.1% of the world's population. But for me, you have provided the most inspiring quote so far, and that is, be yourself, but don't take your trousers off.
Question 8.
What are you curious about right now?
What I'm curious about right now, I like to think about these things, hypothesize about, you know, what's going on at the moment. And I'm looking at this from an educational perspective, and it's just sort of popped into my mind now about how some of the stuff that we're doing online is actually brilliant and possibly even better than doing things face-to-face. I'm just thinking specifically about the parent-teacher consultations. I wasn't at the most recent one for the fourth form, but we're just getting a few messages of positivity back. And I thought to myself, how much better is it to not ask parents to have to come in when some of them maybe have to leave work early, some of them might be stuck in London, some of them might be in an office. So it is very difficult to get everybody all in one place at one time. And I appreciate that as a parent myself, it's very difficult to manoeuvre things like that. When we can just send out a link and mum could be at work in wherever and dad could be at work somewhere else, but you want to be in the meeting together. You could just stay in the office, and if you can put aside half an hour and just drop into a Zoom meeting to talk to your teacher, how much better is that? Maybe. I just think I like to hypothesize on things like that. And from a kid's perspective, I'm looking, they've been given a massive crash course in independent learning, a huge crash course. And I think it's fair to say, and it's not a criticism of anybody, pupils struggle with that at the start. But what I've seen is very, very rapidly pupils taking ownership for their own organisation and their own learning and being set off to do stuff. And I'm seeing teachers who, myself included, having to relinquish some of the, we hold things very tight sometimes. I'm having to relinquish that a little bit because it's not possible to keep a hold and keep a firm grasp on everything that's going on as you would in a classroom. And I'm seeing some huge development. I'm not going to pick anybody out individually, but my third form, who are just having an introduction to GCSE PE at the moment, the ones that have selected it for next year, man, they're absolutely amazing. Every single one of those pupils has made enormous progress in the work that I'm setting them off to do. And I just hope that when we go back into school, that we don't then revert to type and control everything. And I hesitate to use the word spoon feed, but you're in a classroom and this is the topic and off you go, and you try and support them. And I'd love to be able to keep hold of a certain element of that independent learning. I think that'd be enormously important and beneficial.
Question 9.
If you were an animal, what would you be?
Okay, which animal? This is a really hard one. I think I'd possibly be anything that can fly. I'd love the idea of I'm just going to take off into the sky and just have a little look around and fly to somewhere new or different, and maybe a migratory bird that, maybe during when it gets a little bit cold, I'll just go and live somewhere warm on a beach for 6 months and then I'll come back. Sounds like what my in-laws do. Yeah, I think I might do that. Brilliant.
Mr. Miller, now is the time for you to tell us what you would like to put into Keswa 101.
Okay, and Kes 101. Now, if anybody listened to one of the previous series where I got royally set up by Mr. Gardner in a Portsmouth FC versus Blackburn FC sort of ding-dong, I was hugely set up on that. If anybody remembers the answer where who was the most famous footballer or person to come out of each town, and I said Alan Shearer, who's probably one of England's greatest strikers of all time, and it probably tells you a lot that I can't even remember what the Portsmouth player was or who he was, but Portsmouth won that round because of Mr. Gardner. Time to get my own back. Even though Mr. Gardner's putting this together, he's going to tweak it, he's going to change things, he'll probably put my voice over to say something else. But I would love to put Portsmouth FC in room 101. They don't add anything to the Football League. They just float up and down leagues and, what league are Portsmouth in now? I don't know. Don't know where they are. What are they doing? Just a bit of a nothing club, really. I think we just need to add things that don't really give value to anything in life, and definitely Portsmouth FC, yeah, definitely need to go in room 101. Over to you, Mr. Garner, to edit that.
Access denied. Mr. Miller, absolutely no need for me to edit. As you can hear there, the crowd have spoken and you have been denied access to the Keswa 101 vault. But I have to say a huge thanks for your participation in this. A brave, bold thing to do to expose yourself to so many people who listen to this. I mean, we've learned a lot about you. We've learned that you're a director of sport who follows a very different type of diet and healthy or not healthy eating program. We've also learnt that you can't wait to fly away and leave the Surrey Hills for the Cornish coast. And let's not forget your wild accusation that these podcasts are rigged. How dare you, Mr. Miller? Right, that's it, folks, for season 3. Thank you again, Mr. Miller. A great way to end the season. Please check back next week as season 4 will kick off on Wednesday morning. I, for one, can't wait. Bye for now.